This is the first time I'm coming today, but I'm happy to see you this evening. If you would turn with me in your copies of the Holy Scriptures to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll be reading from verses 16 to 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. As you would recognize, we've been trying to throw New Testament light on the Old Testament scriptural preaching in the morning service. That was supposed to be the case for Ecclesiastes. For some reason, our pastor was not here this morning. Pastor Cantine held the fort wonderfully. A very good passage. I must say that he tried to preach my message. Yeah. So he threw New Testamental light to that Old Testament reading from Job 25. So I'm so thankful for that. A lot of the ground has been covered for me. Praise the Lord. But let's read together, and may the Lord help us as we go through this word. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16. I'm sorry, 4 verses 16 to 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Let's pray together. Our loving and living God, we are grateful for this evening and the privilege to open your word and to read from it. The privilege to open your word and to expose it from it. The privilege to open your word and to hear your solemn truths being preached. Oh, great God, we humbly ask for help. We confess that we are all weaklings. We are in need of you. And Lord, we pray that you'd come and help us that we may be able to behold wondrous things out of your word. Open our hearts, Lord. Open your word to our hearts and glorify your name. Lord, you know I'm so unworthy to speak your holy truths, but I pray that you would fill me with your blessed spirit and give grace that your word would come forth faithfully. We ask all these in the name of the Lord Jesus and for his sake. Amen. It seems to me that this letter to the Corinthians was one of Paul's most personal. In it, we read so many things about himself personally. We read of his personal experiences and what appear to be his personal defenses of his personal actions. In fact, when you read through it, it seems as though Paul is spending so much time trying to defend the integrity of the ministry that God had given to him. And indeed, if you read through it, you'd see how that the people, some people who had, for some reason, entered among the congregation of the Corinth people, and perhaps in all Achaia, some people were trying to lay accusations on him. They said he was fickle. He said he was overbearing. He said, oh, he's high-handed. Oh, this Paul, perhaps he does not have that much of an apostolic authority that he is claiming to have. And that is why Paul goes through this particular chapter, this particular epistle, trying to lay out in full terms the integrity of the gospel. That is important, friends, because God's work ought to be held up high, not as man's work, but God's own work. And that's what Paul sought to do. And so for the most part, I think, if you read 2 Corinthians, you see there's so much that a pastor can lay hold on to. So much that a pastor can learn from. I'm not a pastor, but I read through and I see that, wow, these are really pastoral insights. But at the same time, there are many passages that are of great help to us, to you and me, who do not hold some kind of pastoral position or pastoral ministry. God speaks in so so high volumes here in this particular letter. And here is one of such passages, such a beautiful passage. If you were paying close attention in our reading, you would have noted that our text began with a striking phrase, "Therefore, we do not lose heart." Therefore, we do not lose heart. Now, this is important. This is important. It's important because, you see, this phrase suggests a reasoning that is set before our text. It says, therefore. Therefore, it means that something must have come before that, that is set as a reasoning for which Paul is laying forth something else. And indeed, if you read that chapter, you see that what Paul is trying to do is to lay out certain important reasons why Christians should not lose heart. That is why when you go to verse 1 in that same chapter, there is that phrase there again, therefore we do not lose heart. Therefore we do not lose heart. This is really important, beloved, because you and I know that Paul's ministry was a ministry of hardship. It was a ministry of trials. It was a ministry of suffering. And so here, what Paul is doing is trying to say why, he's presenting reasons why he did not lose heart. His heart would not fail. Not only he, but all of his band. Why they would not lose heart in spite of all the miseries and the hardships that they face in their ministerial work. And here then is something of us to consider, beloved, because we all go through hardships and toils and all kinds of situations that brings despair to us, don't we? We do. And we need to be encouraged. We need to be helped. We need to be given some firm and solid reasons for us to hold on. And here Paul is using this passage to encourage us by the Spirit of the living God. We are going to pick up on some of the reasons that are laid out in this chapter. It's given in verses 16 to 18. And so, Lord willing, we'll look in verses 16 to 18 in a message I have entitled, "An Encouragement for the Christian Not to Lose Heart." An encouragement for the Christian not to lose heart. May the Lord so bless us as we briefly ponder over these thoughts for his glory and for our good. Beloved, there are three things that Paul lays out in this text that I want to bring to your attention. The first is the stark reality presented in the text. There's a stark reality presented in the text. Now, this is critical because, you see, the Spirit wants us to see that this call for us not to lose heart is not based on some suspension or some denial of reality. On the contrary, it's in light of one of the starkest realities of life. And what is that reality? The reality is given there in verse 16. Outwardly, or in other words, with regards to our outward man, or our outward self, or our bodies, we are wasting away. That's the reality. We are wasting away. Outwardly, we are wasting away. In other words, we are decaying. We are decaying progressively. In fact, in one version it says, our outward man is perishing. We are wasting away. We are wasting away. We are declining. We are still subject to corruption and decay in our bodies. And so is the case, by the way, even though we've become Christians. The fact that you've become a Christian doesn't mean that your body is not going to decay, does it? I think this is quite obvious, right? Yeah, it doesn't mean that you will not decay. In fact, your body is still feeling the pains of it being, so to speak, you know, declining day in and day out. Yes, we may receive temporal helps. Yes, when we are sick, maybe the Lord may be pleased to heal us. But that doesn't stop the fact that your body will still decay. In fact, if the Lord were to raise you up from the dead, like Lazarus, and still raise you up in this body of yours, you will still waste away. Because that is what the Scriptures says through God's own word. We know this because in Genesis 3:19, That was the curse set on man. We are dust, and to dust we shall return. And so, even right from the time we are born, our cells begin to die. Yes, it's somehow restored in some ways, yes, but our cells die. And it continues in such a manner until it becomes more and more, and we become weak, we decline, and finally, we give up. We thought we are wasting away. We are wasting away. In fact, for us as believers, I think we can even go so much to say that the fact is that for us as believers, the reality of this decline that is spoken here is even precipitated by afflictions and hardships and toil. You see, our troubles in life does not usually end in lengthening our physical lives. On the contrary, they precipitate our physical death. And that's the reality. That's the reality, beloved. And however astute Paul may have been as an apostle, Paul was not oblivious to that. Paul was not excluded from this reality. In fact, in chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, he speaks of him going through afflictions that left him in despair of life itself. In chapter 4, verses 8 to 10, this particular chapter that we are looking at, he describes those afflictions as being of multiple forms, including persecutions. In chapter 11, he lays them out as consisting of so many things: imprisonment, beatings, perils, hunger, thirsting, cold, nakedness, anxieties. You see, if you think about this very carefully, these are the very things that will cause our hearts to work excessively. These are the very things that may cause our blood, and our blood pressures for that matter, to run high. These are the very things that our bodies will be scarred by. These are the things that will cause us to wear out. These are the things that accelerate death. And all of such Paul experienced and recognized. Hence, he points out here that outwardly, we are wasting away. We are wasting away. We are wasting away. We are wasting away, friends, no matter what the world tries to tell us. I know some people don't like to hear that. I'm sure you also know that, right? In fact, recently, I looked at one show, and I think it was a show that was recorded, I think, in 2012. So I'm quite late. So, but yes, that was a show in which a man was being interviewed. That man had, at that time, spent upwards of $300,000 on 47 cosmetic procedures on his body. Yes. And he had done so, as you can, you know, suggest, and maybe you can assume, the reason why he would do so was that he did so because he didn't like the lines on his face. He didn't like to see the wrinkles on his body. He didn't like to be seen as old. It's quite interesting, because as I looked at this man, I could see quite plainly that this man is probably about 50 years or more. But when he was asked how old he was, you know what he said? 29 plus. Why? Because he did not want to grow old. He did not want to come to the stark reality of the fact that outwardly, your body does not stay the same as it was when you were born, such that if you're 50, you can't be 29 as you think you should be. Why? Because our bodies are wasting away. And indeed, there are many who are like this man, including nominal Christians, who want to deny the reality of our perishing, our decay, our impending death, our outward perishing. And they either exclude this from their thinking or avoid it altogether. For some, when they think about the fact that our bodies are declining, our outward man is perishing, what they conclude is that, then what's the point? What's the point? if Christianity does not help me to keep me healthy and wealthy and in, you know, the best of health and without any such decline, then what's the point? If I'm going to die just like the unbeliever physically, then what's the point? What's the point? Some, for example, like Job's wife might claim, well, then is that the case then? Curse God and die. Because after all, you will die just like the unbeliever. But here's where Paul's reasoning is of help, beloved. Because in our text, Paul provides us with two special reasons why a Christian should not lose heart in the face of this outward decline and perishing. Two reasons. Two reasons. What are they? Well, the first is that there is an internal gain in the believer. There is an internal gain in the believer. Verse 16, though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly or in our inner man or in our inner self, we are renewed day by day. And here, Paul brings to mind the reality of an inner life within the believer. In fact, elsewhere, he calls it the inner being in Ephesians chapter 3 and Romans chapter 7, verse 22. Peter also lays reference to this particular part of our being. He calls it the hidden person of the heart, 1 Peter 3:14. And here, Paul is telling us that though outwardly, with respect to our bodies, we may seem to be wasting away, and indeed we are wasting away, inwardly, in the hidden person of the heart, in our inner being, for the Christian, we are being renewed day by day. We are being renewed day by day. You see, friends, as a believer, you have been regenerated in your soul. And for every believer continues to be conformed progressively into the glorious image of Christ. And this is done principally by God's work through the life of the inner man. And this work continues despite the outward decay. In fact, God has so worked it out such that he uses the outward wasting away of the body to enable the inner man to grow in grace and knowledge and dominance. How? Well, by building up the godly fruit of the Spirit within. He builds up love. He builds up joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control as the believer goes through all kinds of situations of trials and difficulties. As we suffer and decline, we are brought to appreciate more and more the frailty of our physical lives. We recognize the fleeting nature of life as we see it. We have a better perspective of what our priorities should be. We are brought to lean less and less on our outward thriving. And above all, we trust more in Christ. We hope more in his word. We cherish more the sweet communion with God in our souls. And all of these, friends, culminate in our inner gain. In our inner gain. In describing the inner gain of the inner man, here's what one commentator put it. He said this, quote, like the palm tree, the more weight is hung upon it, the more it thrives. And like the children of Israel in Egypt, the more they were afflicted, the more they grew. Such is the internal gain. It is being changed from glory to glory through the revelation of Christ as the outward man is pressed through decline. And that for us is a reason why we must not lose heart in life. No matter what the predicament is, we should not lose heart. Why? Because God in all of this is working an internal gain for us. He's working an internal gain for us. But Paul points to another but related reason why the Christian should not lose heart in life, especially when he undergoes hardships and decline. There's another reason given there. It's not just because there's an internal gain, but number two, there is an eternal glory for the believer. There's an eternal glory for the believer. Verse 17, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us. In other words, they are working fully, they are accomplishing in us, they are furnishing us to an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Here, Paul points out that although this life may bring with its troubles that are difficult, although this life will bring its troubles that are so hard to bear and grievous, and even physically fatal, we ought not to lose heart. Why? Because these are the means by which God is preparing us for eternity. These are the means by which God is preparing us for eternity. And in that eternity, there is glory. In that eternity, honor. Eternity, there is incorruption. Romans chapter 2, verse 7 tells us. It is incomparably glorious because the God who is the God of glory is himself there. In fact, the Lamb himself is the glory of that land. Friends, I don't know about you, but for me, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, just to be there and to look on his face, yet just a smile from my Savior, I know, will through the ages be glory for me. In that eternity is glorious. Why? Because God is there. But secondarily, it is of incomparable worth because in that eternal glory, we will receive God's promise. God's promises, I must say. God's glorious promises, I better say. What are those God's glorious promises? Well, those promises of rewards, life eternal, incorruptible rewards of righteousness and of glory. There we will be visibly clothed with bodies fashioned like to the glorious body of Christ. There our souls will be blessed with knowledge and holiness, complete as they can ever be. Complete. Such glorious eternity far outweighs the troubles we go through. That's why Paul says, if we think about that, the troubles we go through would seem so light. He's not saying that troubles are light. He's saying if you compare it with that glory, that eternal glory, that eternal weight of glory, this is light. In fact, he says that this is momentary because that is eternal. So then, as believers, despite the trials and hardships, despite the life, even the sentences of death that we face through life's trials and hardships, we can afford not to lose heart. Why? Because God, number one, is working in us an internal gain. Number two, God has promised an eternal weight of glory, an eternal weight of glory for us. But Paul does not leave us there, friends. After giving us these reasons, he goes on to provide for us something of a recommendation. A recommendation. It's a specific recommendation. on how we may thrive without losing heart. How can we thrive without losing heart? How can the believer thrive without losing heart? By the way, this can also be applied to unbelievers as well. What is the secret to thriving in life without losing heart? Verse 18. So, or while we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. While we fix our eyes, and he's saying this because he's saying that, look, this is what we've been doing. The reason why we are not losing heart is because we know that God is doing something great in us. God has promised an eternal weight of glory for us. But you see, we are able to do this because we are fixing our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. So you better do that. It's a recommendation there. It's an implicit recommendation. Here there's an exhortation implicitly to fix our eyes on the spiritual. The word fix our eyes is really important. Like the word translated fix our eyes. The word that is translated in that phrase, fix our eyes, is really important. In fact, a form of that word is applied in our English words that has scope at the end. S-C-O-P-E, scope. Stethoscope, telescope, periscope. What else? Microscope. What is common about all of these things? There is a focus. There is an aim. Oh, those of you who love guns, there is a scope that you can put in there. We are being urged to focus on something. Focus. We are to make the spiritual our priority and predominant focus, not the outward. Here, what is specified as the outward are those that are fleeting, those that are temporary, those that are decaying, those that are perishing. What are examples of them? The things of this world, yes. After that one, we can easily say that, right? The things of this world, riches and honor. Also, it includes your body as well. Yes, it does. Because it tells us that the body is temporary, is decaying. So it must include that contextually. It doesn't mean that your body is not important. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't pay some attention to your body. I love to take care of my body. Although I should say I don't go to the doctor so often. But I like to take care of my body. And so should you. But your predominant focus, your predominant aim should be on the things that are eternal. What are those things that are eternal? Well, obviously, the great unseen being, God himself. God, the invisible, immortal, living God. He is the one that we must focus on. What else? Well, contextually, the inner man, the inner being, the inner person within us, we must focus on that as well. Yes, these are two main things, not the only things, but two main things that we can say that we should focus on. How do we do that, friends? By faith. Faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped. The evidence of things you can't see. Faith. By faith, we are able to know God. By faith, we are able to see his promises as they being yes and amen in Christ. By faith, we are able to run to Christ and to plead upon him for help, for grace and salvation. By faith, we lay hold on his word and thrive upon it, so that our inner man is blessed. by faith, we are carried out and along as we go through the billows and the rolling storms of life. By faith, we are led to glory. Focus on God by faith, so that our inner man may be blessed. Fix your eyes on these friends. Fix your eyes on God. Fix your eyes on Him. Let that be your foremost thought and interest. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, we are told in Matthew. And all these things shall be added on. Seek Him first. Have you sought Him? Are you seeking Him? Is He the one whom you are looking up to? Well, He says that go to Him by the blessed Lord. Trust in Him. Trust in Him. And seek Him for salvation, for help, for restoration, for blessing, that He would save you from your sins and lead you on, and graciously lead you on through life. Seek Him. Seek Him. Seek Him. And seek that you may grow in the inner man through God's means of building up the soul. The means such as prayer and reading of the word, submitting to God's discipline, trials of faith, worship, and fellowship. May God Himself help us to remember. May God help us to see the reality pointed out in the text. May God help us to see the twofold reasons we are provided in this text. And may God help us to lay hold on the recommendation set forth here. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Let's pray together. Our Holy Father, we thank You for these wonderful words of life. We pray that God, You would just grant us mercy to lay hold of them. Oh God, bless Your people. And if there be anyone here who does not know the blessed Lord Jesus, I pray that these words will stir up that person's heart and draw that person to Your Son. Bless us, Lord, for we ask in Jesus' name.